Parashas Kisavo contains the brachos and the klalos, the blessings and the curses that were to be pronounced at Har Grizim and Har Evel. One of the curses is Arur Masig Vul Reyehu V'Yamar Kalam Amen. Someone who is Masig Vul is cursed. The concept of Asagas Gvul appears earlier in Parashat Shoftim. Lo Sasig Vul Reyacha Asher Govlu Rishonim B'Nachalasecha Asher Tinchal Ba'aret Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Lecha L'Rishta. There we have a lo sasei, a lav, lo sasei gvul reacha. Do not commit hasagas gvul against your friend. And here in Parashas Kisavo, we have an arur masig gvul rei. What is hasagas gvul? What does it mean to be masig gvul? So in common usage, in common rabbinic usage, in the Sifrei HaPoskim, certainly in the Achronim, it is generally used to mean improper competition, encroaching upon somebody's livelihood. That's what to be masig gvul means, that's what asagas gvul, that's how it's used in the Sifrei HaPoskim. However, to the best of my knowledge, nowhere in Chazal do we find asagas gvul used in that sense. Nowhere do Chazal interpret either of these psukim, either the lav of lo sasig gvul reacha, or the arur of arur masig gvul reyehu, as referring to asagas gvul in the sense of encroaching on someone's livelihood, in the sense of improper business competition. In fact, the Radvaz, the Radvaz acknowledges that it is margla b'puma de'inshi, that people use the term like that, but he says it's not correct. He says that's not how Chazal interpret asagas gvul. So we'll return to this common usage of asagas gvul later, but first we'll begin by discussing how Chazal actually do interpret asagas gvul. There are at least five possible interpretations of asagas gvul that we find in Divrei Chazal. The Sifri, on Pasha Shoftim, on the pasuk of Lo Sasig Gvul Reacha, the Sifri brings four, and then the Bavli in Masechta Shabbos brings a fifth one. The Sifri begins, Lo Sasig Gvul Reacha Asher Gavlu Rishonim. So it says, what do we need this for? Halok Farnemar Lo Sigzol, don't steal. What's Asagas Gvul? You're manipulating the boundaries to steal the property of your neighbor by pushing the boundary farther into his field. So what's this? This is another kind of stealing. Matamal Lamar Lo Sasig, Malamed, the Torah is teaching us, anyone who is Oker Tchumo Shel Chavero over Bishnei Lavin. Inachinami. It's a form of theft. It's a particular kind of theft of stealing land by manipulating the boundaries. And you're over Shnei Lavin. Mashma, that there's nothing new in this pasuk. It simply is a second lav on stealing karka. You might think it applies in Chutzlart, just like Lo Sigzol does. Talmud Lamar Benachloscha Asher Tinchal. The pasuk goes on in Shoftim, it says, "Nachlascha Asher Tinchal." So, in Eretz Yisrael, you're over Shnei Lavin, both Lo Sigzol and Lo Sasig. In Chutz Laaretz, you're over only one lav, the lav of Lo Sigzol. So according to the first pshat of the Sifri, it simply means Gzela. Lo Sasig is simply a particular form of Gzela. It's a form of Gzela's Karka in Eretz Yisrael. It apparently adds nothing beyond what regular Gzela already prohibits, but it gives you a second lav if you do it in Eretz Yisrael. This is the pshat that Rashi on Chumash says. Lo sasig, according to this pshat, what does the word sasig mean? Rashi says, Lashon nasogu achar, from a pasuk in Yeshaya, which means to turn back, that you're machzir simin chaluk sakarka, you move the boundary lachar into your friend, you push the boundary back into your friend's property, thereby stealing his land. You're expanding yours by stealing his. That's just lo sigzol, Rashi says, like the Sifri. You're over two lavin, and Eretz Yisrael, you're over two lavin. This is the pshat, the first pshat of the Sifri. This is how Rashi learns this, that the Rambam mentions, this is Chazal's pshat. This is how the Rambam brings this in Sefer HaMitzvahs. He says that, what is the lav of love lo sasig? It's an azhara from stealing milignov gvulos hakarkos, by changing the gvul, shelo nishane es hagvul, between us and our neighbor, by taking some of his property for ourselves. He brings this to free. It's basically lo sigzol, just a separate second lav. That's what the Rambam says. That is what the Sefer HaChinuch says, who follows the Rambam as usual. The Chinuch says, there's not much to say about this. He says, it's like Gezel, it's Yadua. Seichel tells you this, obvious to Elis. Dini HaMitzvah Ktzarim, not much to say about the Dinim. It's just a form of Gzela. Don't steal Karka. The Chinuch then ends with a strange comment. It says, V'noheges b'chol makom u'v'chol zman. The Chinuch says it applies everywhere. Minchas Chinuch says, that's obviously a toast. The Sifri says explicitly that it applies only in Eretz Yisrael. Lo Sigzol applies everywhere. But Lo Sasig is a separate lav, and it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. He says, "Bevade tos amatik." You have to say it's a tos at first, and he means to say it's noeg be'eretz Yisrael. I'll call upon him. This is the first pshat of the Sifri. This is how Rashi learns Rashi al Torah. This is the Rambam and the Chinuch. Other Rishonim bring this pshat as well. That is the first pshat of the Sifri. Sifri has a second pshat. Sifri continues right after explaining the pasuk this way. It says, "Minayin laoker tchumim shel shvatim shaover belosase." If someone is oker the boundaries of shvatim, he violates a losase. Talmud lomar, and it does not bring our pasuk. It brings a similar pasuk in Mishlei, al tasig gvul olam. Also, it sounds like a sagas gvul, but it does not bring our pasuk in Shoftim. It brings the pasuk in Mishlei, midivrei Kabbalah, of al tasig gvul olam. So, not exactly clear if this is daraisa or drabanan. The Ramban ala Torah understands that he said this is what he called pshuto shel mikra. He says this is the behemoth pshuto shel mikra. He says is the second pshat of the Sifri. He brings both ideas of the Sifri. He says that he understands following the second pshat of the Sifri, it doesn't just mean stealing karka. It means something a little different. It means that you shouldn't challenge. What does it mean, asher gavlu rishonim, that the early ones set up? He says it means don't challenge the chalukas ha'aretz by the Nesiim. He says that rishonim are Elazar HaKohen and Yeshua ben Nun and the Nesiim Hamatos. He says that's what it means. He says don't say that it's not fair. My chalik is not. I didn't get something that was worth as much as someone else. And the people who divided it erred in how they divided it, or you'll be motzi la'az al ha-gorelos, you're going to say the gorel's not good, and you're not going to think you're stealing, you're saying the whole chalukah wasn't fair. That's the tivui. The tivui is, don't challenge the chalukah, don't accept the chalukah, don't attempt to alter the chalukah, accept the chalukah, the Torah said in Bamidbar, al pi ha-gorel techolek nachlasa ben rav lema'at. That's what the Torah said over there. And now the Torah is telling you that don't challenge that. Don't diverge from that. Don't not be seser, not be gully. Accept the chalukas arts. Then he says the Sifri has another pshat. This is what the Sifri means when the Sifri says minayin laoker tchuma shel shvatim. And he apparently had the girs from the Sifri shover belosay talmud lomer lo sasik vul reyecha. He had the girs of reyecha. It sounds like he held it was pshat in the pasuk. Not that the Sifri is just bringing something from Mishlei, but that it actually. He was Gareis in the Sifri, apparently, that Tchuma Shel Shvatim is a pshat in Lo Sasik Vol Reyecha. That's his pshat. He says that there is another pshat in the Sifri. The first pshat, it just means stealing your neighbor's property. And according to that, he says, what does it mean, Gvul Rishonim? It's nothing to do with the Chalukas Arts. It just means don't steal real estate. Rishonim means it was from a long time ago, so people may not remember so well, so you can get away with altering the borders. A recent demarcation of the property, everyone knows you won't get away with. An old one, you'll get away with. So the Ramban is also acknowledging there are two pshatim in Chazal. One of them means don't steal real estate. It's a second lav for stealing real estate in Eretz Yisrael. He favors the second pshat on the Sifri. That's the one he feels is the emes pshuto shel mikra, that it means don't challenge the goral. That's what the Sifri means when it says la'oker tchuma shel shvatim. He apparently understood it was goris in the Sifri, that the Sifri is not just bringing a pasuk in Mishlei, it means to bring the pasuk in Shoftim. So that is a second pshat in the idea of Hasagas Gvul, that whether Daraisa or Drabanan, based on Divrei Kabbalah and Mishlei, but it means don't tamper with the Goral, don't challenge the Chalukas Haaretz that was done by Elazar and Yeshua, accept it, al pi ha-Goral, Hashem wanted the Chalukah to be done this way, al pi ha-Goral, don't challenge it, don't be mafakfeik on the Goral. Sifri then brings a third pshat. The Sifri says, "Minayin lamachlif divrei Rabbi Eliezer b'divrei Rabbi Yeshua, v'divrei Rabbi Yeshua b'divrei Rabbi Eliezer, lomer al tar tamei val tamei tar." If Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua disagree, one of them says tamei, and one of them says tar, and you switch around who said what. So if Rabbi Eliezer said tamei and Rabbi Yeshua said tar, you quote them as saying Rabbi Yeshua said tamei and Rabbi Eliezer said tar. Minayin, if a person does that, you're over below sase. Very serious. You're over below sase. Talmud Lomar, and again there's a question in the Girsa, what the Girsa is. Talmud Lomar, some Sifris have, the Sifri that I had, that says, Lo Sasik Vul Reyecha, which seems to mean it's interpreting the Pasuk in Shoftim, that it's a Deraisa maybe even, Lo Sasik Vul Reyecha, to do this, to be Machlef Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua on a din is Lo Sasik Vul Reyecha. The Chida, however, the Stechemet, however, brings that the Girsa was corrected there to the Pasuk in Mishlei. He apparently had the Pasuk in Mishlei on being Machlef Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. He had the Girsa of Gvul Olam, which is the Pasuk in Mishlei, Al Tasik Gvul Olam, and the Stechemet says that if you're Gareis Lo Sasik Gvul Reyecha, then maybe it's a Daraisa. If you're Gareis Gvul Olam, it's Divrei Kabbalah. The Stechemet is quoting from the Sefer Tara Samayim. The Tara Samayim says this is a very serious issue. It's a question of a Daraisa, he says. And he says something very, very cute. He says, if you're reading the Gemara, and you see that it says Re in the Gemara, Reish Yud, and you're not sure what it stands for, he says, don't just guess and say Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Yehuda if you don't know, he says, because if you do that, you might be over. This is Alos Haseh, he says. If you get it wrong, you're being machlef divrei Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yehoshua, he says. You're being over the Alos Haseh, according to the Sifri. You can argue, he says, it's only a suffix. Maybe I'm right. I'm guessing and I'm hoping I'm right, he says. No, he says, suffix deraisa lachumra. He held it was deraisa. He understood that the Sifri is darshaning the pasuk in Parsha Shoftim. This is the Hasagas Gvul of the Chumash. Lo sasik gvul re'echa. Nichlel in that is that you're over the lav deraisa if you're machlef Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua. He says maybe you can be docha, it's only if you switch around both halves of a machlokas or Eliezer to Rabbi Yeshua and vice versa. If it's only one name, then you're still not being Omer Dover B'Shem Amro, but it's still not good, but it's Isser Kal, it's not a Lav Daraisa. I'll call upon him the Tara Samayim held that being machlef Divir Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, you're getting into a Daraisa. As we said, the Stechemet though says that the correct Girsa in the Sifri, he says the corrected Girsa is Huga. It was Huga to the Pasuk in Mishle, so it's not Daraisa. It's still a thing. It's still a Sifri. It's still a Drasha of the Sifri in Mishle, but he says maybe it's not Daraisa. There's an Arichus on this question of what it means to Machlef Divrei Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yehoshua, what it means in practice in a fascinating tshuva of the Machne Chaim. Machne Chaim discusses a case. There was a sofer, someone who wrote Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzos. There was a sofer who wrote Kitzvei HaKodesh. He was caught plagiarizing. He published a sefer. He had apparently corresponded with Gedolim. That he says when he wrote to Gedolim and he got tshuvas from Gedolim, he published them as his own Torah. He was caught eventually, and people realized he was Nama Aretz. He learned Meleches Tam. He knew how to write Sefers. But he wasn't actually a gon in Torah. They caught him that he was plagiarizing and taking credit for other people's Torah. And the question was, how bad is his Avera? It's obviously a bad thing to do, but how bad is this? Should we passel all his Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzos? Is he considered a Rasha? That we have to passel all his farm? How bad is his Avera? So the Machane Chaim has a long discussion, different ways, intellectual property violations, plagiarism, different ways to look at the Avla of the Sofer. He corresponded, I believe, with the Maram Sheik, who has a discussion of this as well. But they discuss this case. They discuss how bad is it to be. They discuss how to conceive of what he did wrong. So Machne Chaim has a lengthy analysis of, is he violating the Lav Daraisa of Lo Sasik V'Reecha by plagiarism. He says, Yav Sifri, L'chor it's chet gadol ad ma'od, he says. You're over a lav b'tara, lo sasik v'l'reecha. He says, even if you're not taking credit for, you're not plagiarizing, even if you just incorrectly attribute Rabbi Eliezer to Rabbi Yeshua and vice versa, you're anyway over a lav, he says. Certainly if you take credit for it and you plagiarize, you take credit for someone else's Torah. Certainly that's a lav, he says. Then he says, no, maybe not, he says. Yesh l'chalik. The Sifri, there's a reason to pick Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. He says, because we know Rabbi Eliezer shamutihu. The halacha generally doesn't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. So he says, if you're machlef Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, you're actually distorting the halacha, he says. He says that the govler rishonim, means, according to this pshat, the klolei hapsak of the rishonim, that we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua, he says. That's the losasik, that you're distorting the halacha by misattributing Rabbi Yeshua's view to Rabbi Eliezer and vice versa, he says. You're actually causing a mistake in din, and that's the losasik. But if it's just someone says something and someone says something else, Yikubal Hamas Mipikol, he says, the famous language of the Rambam, Shmas Emes Mishamru, he says. What's the big deal? It's not a great thing, he says, but we're not a great thing, perhaps, but we're not going to call this the lav of Omer Dover, I'm not going to call this the lav of Machlif, of Lo Sasi Gloriacha, he says, even if you take credit for it, even if you plagiarize, he says, that's not the gvul, he says. He goes back and forth on this question, he says, and so at the end of the day, he comes out that he's not convinced that what the sofer did is actually going to violate the lav daraisa, which you understand again, according to the Sifri, it's a serious isser. He comes out that he's not actually going to violate this. He says hagufa. He says the Sifri is myrif. The Sifri goes on and it says that he says raya brurim divrei ha-Sifri. It's a free should have been Makatsa. Rishud has said him Amar Divir of Yeshua, Bashem Rabeliazar, Rabeliazar Bashem of Yeshua. That's a Sagas Gvul. He says Dafka, if there's a Nafkamina, he wants to say that it's Tomei or Tar, as the that's why the Sifri adds the Arichus, that you're switching the Tomei and the Tar, and you're causing the halacha to be distorted. But if you just attribute Rabbi Eliezer's Psak to Rabbi Yeshua, there's no machlokas, the din is not being there's no machlokas, the din is not being passed incorrectly. He's inclined to say, perhaps at least, that you're not over the lav of Losasik Vloriecha, so maybe what the Sofer did is not so bad. Stechemet brings a similar idea from the Pirush Zera Avram on the Sifri. Did not manage to look it up inside, but the Stechemet brings from the Zera Avram that he says, again, that what the Sifri means, the Sifri says, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua and vice versa, and then it adds, Tar Tamei and Tamei Tar. The Zera Avram says, Mishim de Kaimalan, Bechal Mach, Malachak Rabbi Yeshua, Legabri Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is Talmid de Beishamai, that's one Pshat and Shemute. So he says, except for a limited number of exceptions, so if you're Machlef, he says, you're causing the halacha to be distorted, and that's the Gvul Olam, and that's the Pasuk in Mishlei, he says, that, again, well, why do we need Mishlei? Why would Mishlei have to repeat? If Mishlei just meant what Pasha Shofta meant, that don't do Asagas Gvul, that the Torah means, why do you need a Pasuk in Mishlei, he says. L'fiz Anecha, that the Pasuk in Mishlei is adding, that the Sifri's Pshat is adding, he was Goreis at least in this Pshat, and then this third Pshat of the Sifri, of the Machlef Divrei Eliezer of Yeshua, he was Goreis the Pasuk in Mishlei, and he says that's what the Sifri is adding, that's what the Pasuk in Mishlei is adding, that if you're distorting the halacha, you violate Al Tasik Vulo. Okay, so that is the third Pshat in the Sifri. The Sifri goes on. Sifri has a fourth chat, which we're not going to discuss in detail. It says, Minayin lemocher karka avosav sho'over below sase. If you sell ancestral property, you're over below sase. Talmud lomar lo sasek vol reyecha. But then the Sifri goes on and explains it's only if it's been used as a cemetery. Yachal afilu lo nikvar adam bami olam, talmud lomar b'nachalascha asher timchal. Rabbeinu Hillel on the Sifri says that the language of b'nachalascha asher timchal is Barnachla, don't be masig, the Adam de Barnachla, which is the Kana Makomo. Mashmaus of the Pasuk, he explains, is that someone has the right, you're infringing on somebody's rights, the person was buried there, he has the right to the karka, so don't sell the karka out from under the person who was buried there. Talks about if you buried a nifel there, it doesn't apply. I'll call upon him, this is a fourth shot, that it means Mocher Karka Avosov, that was used for burial purposes. We have a fifth pshat. The fifth pshat is in the Bavli in Masechta Shabbos. The Bavli talks about the rules of Kilayim, about how far away you can plant things to avoid Kilayim. It says, Kimlu l'rabbanan, chmisha b'shita milsihi, that there is a, that the shir yunika Rashi explains, that the chum gave a shir of how far away things can be, and not be yonik zemizet, to cause Kilayim problems, not to derive sustenance from each other, which causes a Kilayim problem. So the Chacham were Bekiyim. How do we know the Chacham were Bekiyim, he said? How do they know who told us the Shir Yunika? How do Chazal know? What's the Makar for this? How do we know that we have any rules? What's our basis for these rules of Kilayim? So the Gemara says, the Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mai Dechsev Lo Sasig Gvul Reecha Shagov L'Rishonim. What does this mean? Gvul Shagov L'Rishonim Lo Sasig. Do not violate the Gvul of the Rishonim. What is Gavul Rishonim? Amr of Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amr of Yonasan, Mai Dechsiv, Ele B'nei Seir HaChori, Yoshvei Haaretz. The B'nei Seir HaChori, they were Yoshvei Haaretz, they were land people, they knew land. Everyone, where did everyone else live? On the Rakia, the Gemara says, Atu Kuli Alma Yoshvei Rakianin. What does it mean they lived on the land, as opposed to what? Ela Shei Bekiin B'Yeshuva Shalaretz. They knew land. They were experts on agronomy. They knew all about agriculture. They would say, Melo Kanazel Azayas, Melo Kanazel Ekfanim, Melo Kanazel Ateinim. That they knew exactly what you should plant plant in different sections of the land. They could tell which land was best suited for different crops. Chorish, Marichim Esaretz, they could smell the land. Vechivi, they could taste the land like a snake that eats dirt. And, good. So the Gemara says, Lo Sasik Vil Reecha Asher Gavul Rishonim means, do not flout the rules of Yunika. The Torah is telling us that these are reliable, these rules of Yunika that go back to the Rishonim. Don't flout them and observe the laws of Kilayim. Tosfos says, Im Kain Hazarea Kilayim. If someone plants Kilayim and he's thus violating these laws of Yunika that were handed down from the Rishonim, he should get two malchus. One because of Lo Sizra, the explicit law of not to plant Kilayim. And one, because Losasik Vol, Tosfos assumes it's a lav d'oraisa. Tosfos seems to assume this is a basic lav. Why don't you get two malchus for it, he says. The Gemara is mashma. Not like that, he says, in Chulin, v'yesh lomer, since it also has the other asagas gvul, the basic asagas gvul of stealing real estate, ain't lokin belav that asagas gvul mamish, and that you don't get malchus for either. Dain lokin belav nitin la'ashavin, stealing you don't get malchus for because you can return it. Vod habi lav shebechlalus, that Torah says two pshatim why you don't get malchus, either because the pasuk is kol two things, and one of them you definitely don't get malchus for because it's nitin la'ashavin, you can return the Heshev is exhaled, you can return what you stole, it's nitin le'shavan, and also because it's lav shebechlalos, a rule that when a lav is kolel different isurim, you don't get malchus for any of them. Akal panim, Tosfos seems to be assuming that this is a lav d'oraisa, this is not just some kind of a smachta. Tosfos ad kedei kach, Tosfos asks why you don't get malchus, and he gives these different terutzim, which seems to indicate that Tosfos felt that this is a fifth element, which of the other ones are derisa or not clear, but this one at least Tosfos seems to have assumed is a bona fide lav derisa to the extent that it was that it's a good question. Why don't you get malchus for it? So that is the fifth pshat of Chazal of Lo Safsik Gvul Re'echa. Up till now, we've been kind of mixing together Lo Safsik Gvul Re'echa and Orer Masik Gvul Re'ehu, been kind of assuming it's the same as Agas Gvul. We're about to see that there might be some daylight between them. Hakal Panim, in Divrei Chazal, we have five pshatim in what Agas Gvul means. Either it means simply stealing, it's a second lav of stealing Karka and Eretz Yisrael, or it means challenging the Goral, the way the Ramban explains, the second pshat of the Sifri, don't tamper with the Chalukah Zashvatim, the Chalukah of the Nesiim and Elazar and Yeshua, or it means don't be machlef divrei Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, at least according to some poskim when we're dealing with a possible siluf of the halacha, distortion of the halacha. These two, number two and three, there are gersos in the Sifri that it's based on the pasuk in Mishlei of al tasik vol olam. Maybe it's not daraisa. We have the fourth pshat in the Sifri that it means not to sell land that was used for burial purposes, and we have the pshat of the Bavli Masechta Shabbos that it means it's a lav of kelayim. Don't ignore the unique rules of the Rishonim, that how far away they have to be to not draw sustenance from each other. And it's a lav of ignoring that and planting species too close to each other, which essentially is another lav about kelayim. Again, we started with the fact that in rabbinic literature, certainly in the Achronim, it is generally used for something totally different. It's generally used to mean business competition, improper business competition. As we noted, there is no makar for this in Chazal. The Radvazi already says it's margal b'pume de'inshi, but it's wrong, he says. That's not what Asagas Gvul means. The truth is that even in Rishonim, we do find, occasionally, not extensively, but we do find, even in Rishonim, the occasional use of Asagas Gvul to mean improper business competition. Rambam, in a tshuva, Rambam talks about a case of a dayan who used to do the milas in his area. Someone got into a fight with a dayan. A physician got into a fight with a dayan, so to spite him, he went out and did a mila on his own in the dayan's territory and gave the money to tzedakah. I don't even need the money, he said. So, and he thought he was doing a mitzvah because he's giving money to tzedakah. The Rambam throws the book at this person. He says, he thought he's doing a mitzvah. It's mitzvah ba ba'avera. It's not avodas Hashem. It's chet. You're taking parnasa away from an ani ben Torah, from the dayan. You're over losikam and lositar and gnevas das abrios. You're pretending you're doing it l'shem shemayim while really you're doing it for spite, he says. And also he says, you're over the iser. You're being yored lomnas chavero. You're improperly competing with someone else and encroaching on his livelihood. And that would be even if you need the money yourself, he says. Certainly if you don't need the money, you're just doing it for out of malice, he says. That's mamish, that's achzarius, he says, and haflug of an akim of an atira. That's a terrible, terrible thing. Part of the tshuva is missing, but the Rambam ends up, he says, sof davar, anyone who interferes with someone's livelihood, harehu bechlal masig vil re'ehu, such a person, this is bechlal masig vil re'ehu l'fi daiti, brings no source, but the Rambam says, in my opinion, this is bechlal masig vil re'ehu. Similarly, in the Rokeach, the Sefer Rokeach, writes, Havizar b'pasuk v'cheach ichayimach, be careful, he says, not to interfere with other people's livelihoods, he says, with the idea of v'cheach ichayimach, v'lo sasik v'lo, do not be masik v'l, he says, that interfering with his livelihood is called hasagas v'l. Again, so we have a Rambam, we have a Rokeach, we don't know, it's not clear where they got this from, that this is nichlal in the Psukim, and either Pasuk in the Lav in Shoftim, or the Arur in Kisavo, unclear where they got it from, but that's what they say. Radvaz just says it's wrong, it's Magal Puma Deinshi, doesn't acknowledge the Rishonim, he just says it's not correct, he says it'll be HaMS, it's not what the Pasuk is talking about, maybe it's a Lashon Mushal he understood, but it's not correct. The one Achron who actively and explicitly defends this usage is the Marshal, pretty much a contemporary of the Radvaz, a little bit later. The Marshal writes in his Biurim to the Smag, the Marshal writes that actually it is a Sagas Gevul. And Marshal says something very interesting. He develops this in detail. He compares it to other, so one of the other Arurs. He says, the Arurs expand upon the Lavims. Several of the Arurs, there are parallel Lavim, the Arayas and so on. He says the Arur can expand and include things that were not included in the Lav itself. He brings the Smag who says that from Arur Shochet and Chosanto, a person's mother-in-law, he's medayik that chamoser la'achramisa, after his wife dies, is still ushered, that the Arur is marba that. And the Smag understands, the Marshal understands, the Pshat is, the Arur includes more things that wouldn't have been included in the original Lav. And the Marshal explains the Hasagas Gvul the same way. He says the Sifri, the Pshat in Hasagas Gvul, that it means stealing karka, that's the Pshat in Parsha Shoftim of Lo Sasi Gvul Reecha, he says, but the truth is, we use the word Hasagas Gvul to mean encroaching on someone's livelihood as well. The Rakech says that, he says, Mekapech Mekiyasir Shel Chaveiro, Rabim Tamu, he says, many people are Matmi on this. We saw the Radvaz. He says, Rabim Tamu, many people are matmiya. That's not what the Pasuk means, as we've seen. The Pasuk means something very different. The Sifri has different pshatim, some maybe Daraisa, some Drabanan, the Rambam, the Sefer Chinuch, the Yireim, the post can bring all kinds of pshat. All the Rishonim bring the Sifri. It primarily means stealing karka. It has some other connotations as well. But nobody brings that it means mekapach mechiasov. So where does that come from, he says? So he says, Nira Be'enai, Shakachu Mekubal Merabosav, he says, the Rakeh had a Kabbalah. And in the Chanami, lo sasik v'l'riecha does not mean that. Lo sasik v'l'riecha just means don't steal karka. But the Arur, he says, the Arur is marbe, another meaning of a sagas gvul. It's a little different from chosanto, which is just including a case, even achamoso la'achamisa. Here it's a whole different thing. It's not stealing karka, it's encroaching on his livelihood. Okay, but the Rakeh understood. Rakeh had a Kabbalah, he says, that the pasuk of Arur masik v'l'riehu is coming to expand the Hasagas Gvul as prohibited, and it's prohibiting business competition as well. And he says that another example he brings of Eishes Chamav, he says even though Eina Torah Liyach Nidan Babishim Chamoso, but he says it's included. The Arur is marba other things. The Arur in various ways is marba things that wouldn't be included in Los Asig. Even though the Sifri and all these pshatim and the lav of Los Asig are limited to stealing karka and certain other applications, but the Arur expands things. The Arur comes to include even business competition. And as we mentioned in the Achronim, we find all the time poskim use the term Hasagas Gvul. They call it over ba'arur, kayim ba'arur. It's not always clear, again, whether they mean it as a lashon mushal or not. For example, the Sholem Eshev says, if a shochet encroaches on the territory of someone else, ba'arur pashut shubachlal arur masik v'l'riehu. The Maram Sheik has a tshuva that somebody was encroached and was mekapeach parnas of somebody else, masik v'l. And if a rav comes and interferes with someone else's territory, He's noeg rabbanis there. Bechlal arur masik v'l'riehu. So the bechlal arur, they talk and say arur. And we find various achronim. The Aruch HaShulchan says, hamasik v'l'riehu. He says that, it's an aveira. Levadze kom le ba'arur, he says, masik v'l'riehu. That, even b'chutz la'aretz, he says, and it's asur, it's bechlal asag, the kapach pronounces chavero, is bechlal asagas gvul. So many poskim, Some of them quite explicitly, it sounds like it's Mikra Din, not just the Lashon Mushal. Many poskim do say it's a Sagas Gvul. The Makar fruit is very murky. Apparently, there's no Makar in Divrei Chazal. And even in Rishonim, the Makar is very limited. It's just a passing comment in a Tshuva of a Rambam and a passing comment in a Rokeach. But Lamaisa, the Achronim routinely, it was already common in the Marsha, in the Radvaz's time, and the Achronim certainly used the term to mean this routinely. So besides all the other pshatim of the Sifri and the Rishonim, has to do with various kinds of stealing and misquoting, we also have this idea that Hasagas Gvul, that improper business competition, is violates maybe Lo Sasig Gvul Reecha, maybe the Arur of Arur Masig Gvul Reehu. Again, the details of what's called improper competition are unfortunately beyond the scope of this year, but this is something that many poskim do use, and the Marshal explicitly justifies as being nichlal in the at least in the Arur, maybe even the lav of Hasagas Gvul.